Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see you here. We must have something special this morning because I see some different faces this morning. Good to have you here. This is a special time. And as you know, I am going to do a dedication this morning. And I like to call it the ceremony of parent-child dedication. Or my message, though, will be really about what every Christian should know about child dedication. And we are going to be dedicating right at the end of the service after my message. We'll be dedicating Marco Valentino Figueroa. And we have a number of people here, family, parents, grandparents, and other family and friends as sponsors. Now, that being said, let me just pray a blessing. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blessing of this hour we have together. Again, for this special morning and for this special gift, Marco. We pray a blessing upon him right now, but we also pray a blessing upon our hearts today as we listen to what you have in your word to teach us this morning about this ceremony. So bless us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, child dedication, if I may sum it up in a sense, is a symbolic ceremony undertaken by Christian parents, generally soon after the birth of a child, whatever that might be. And I've dedicated children that were more than toddlers. They might have been 9, 10 years old because they did not ever get dedicated, and yet their parents came to know the Lord, and so they were in my church, and we did that. But it is something, the ceremony or the practice of dedication is intended to be a public statement by the parents that they will train up or they will raise up their child or children in the Christian faith and seek to instill that faith in that child. Now, the congregation often shows some form of affirmation of this. I like to include, and you'll see this later at the end when we do the dedication, I like to have the congregation stand in affirmation of what was just dedicated, that child, and to also affirm before God that they are going to help or assist the parents in any way possible in their role or in their mission of raising their child for Christ. So, there is no implied salvation in this ceremony, especially in most Protestant churches I'm talking about. There's no saving grace, there's no special grace, so to speak, for that child in dedication. And child or infant dedication is not to be considered a church ordinance. We in the Protestant church, we celebrate two ordinances, or we go through the two ordinances on a regular basis. We call it water baptism and the Lord's Supper. And as Christians, as members of the church, we're required to observe these two ordinances regularly until Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, then we will no longer do water baptism or communion. So it's for the church. As Christians, we are baptized as a public testimony of our faith, and we participate in the Lord's Supper as a memorial feast, as a remembrance of what our Lord did for us. Now, both ordinances, the water baptism and the communion supper, these are outward and public signs of what Christ has already done within us, based on our commitment, based on our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the infant or child dedication ceremony, though it's not an ordinance of the church, it does have some significance. And there doesn't seem to be any conflict with Scripture as long as parents do not view it as providing for or assuring the salvation of the child. I think we know that because an infant or a child cannot place his or her own faith in Jesus Christ, they cannot understand what water baptism symbolizes. And so that comes later on in that child's life when they're at that age when they can make this decision of their own volition and they have some understanding. And that varies with ages of the children. So at the end of my message this morning, we're going to have the privilege of dedicating, I think the parents are going to have the privilege, I should say, of dedicating Marco Valentino Figueroa. Now, Sue and I have three children. We have 10 grandchildren. All of them are a blessing, no doubt. And they have been a joy to us, and they continue to be a joy to us. And personally, because I have been a pastor, I've had the privilege and the blessing of dedicating all three of our children, now adult children, so to speak, and I also had the privilege of baptizing them in their faith later on in their life. They are a heritage to us. They are a legacy to us. They're a reward, a gift to us. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. In fact, let me open with Psalm 127, and then I'll take you to a passage in the New Testament. Psalm 127, I'm going to read all of it. It's a very short, 5 verses, but it speaks to this issue. It's talking about the Lord building the house, building the family, if you will. And it starts off by saying, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Now verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Verse 5. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now let me take you over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And here's how Jesus views the worth of a child or children. In Mark 10, beginning in verse 13, we read these words. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. That's what the people were bringing children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked them. They rebuked these people for doing so. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. That's just a sampling right there from the Old Testament and New Testament, talking about how God views children as special. They're gifts, they're rewards, they're important. And Jesus, who is God in the flesh, takes the little children into his arms and he blesses them. So I don't think we should ever make a mistake as parents or grandparents that the Bible is very clear in saying that our children are gifts of the Lord God. We are to handle them with care and with love. Which brings me to a major question then that we must ask ourselves. What must we do to preserve these precious gifts? What should we do? Well, that brings me to the word dedication. And that's what we're talking about today. Webster's Dictionary defines dedication as an act or rite, R-I-T-E, a ceremony, of setting aside for a particular purpose or to set apart to a definite use or service, to devote to the service of worship of a divine being. That's the dictionary's definition. Now, perhaps a better description of the ceremony we're involved in would be to call it a parental dedication or parent-child dedication. Because in reality, it is the parents who are dedicating their child or children to the Lord. And as Christian parents, we're giving our children back to God, in essence. God is the giver of these gifts to us. So in the act of dedication, we turn around and give the children back to God. There are many biblical examples of this. The idea of dedicating a child to the Lord certainly can be found in the Bible, because they brought their children to God and had a special dedication to God. The classic example is the woman Hannah. Hannah brought her son Samuel to the high priest Eli. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It was an act of dedication. Now, Hannah was a barren wife. She could not have children for whatever reason. So she prayed to God and she promised to dedicate her child back to God if God would give her a son. Well, we read in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read these words. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called him Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. God blessed Hannah with a child. Hannah recognized that her newborn son was truly a gift from God. It was an answer to her prayers. She dedicated Samuel, this precious gift, back to God. A second example is found in Luke chapter 1. A couple by the name of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest. Both were righteous people. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. She could not have a child. And they were up in the years. I don't know what age that would be, but they were up in years, advanced in years, so to speak. Well, their prayers were answered when she prayed to God. So God gave them a boy. They named him John. That was the name the angel had instructed them to give him. Now, baby John was circumcised, as was the custom. And the parents dedicated John, surrendered the child to God for the purpose and for God's plan for which God had chosen him. Well, that little baby John later became known as John the Baptist. And he was the forerunner to Christ. He was leading people to Christ. He was the one who said in John 1:29, when he saw Christ coming, behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb being the sacrifice, you see. Now, a third example is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 and on. And this is where we read of Mary and Joseph taking Jesus, baby Jesus, to the temple after 40 days after birth in order to dedicate him to the Lord. Now, this is a little bit more involved because this, of course, involved a sacrifice, etc. But once again, the ceremony did not indicate any level of salvation whatsoever. And then there's the example that we ought not to forget in the Old Testament in Genesis 22. And that's a great chapter to read if you haven't read it, or to read it when you just to review it. That's where Abraham experienced the greatest test in his life. To test Abraham's faith, God commanded him to sacrifice the long-awaited promised son, Isaac. Abraham obeyed God. The Bible doesn't say exactly, doesn't specify how old Isaac was when he and Abraham made that trip, the long trip to the mountain, up the mountain called Moriah, for the sacrifice. It's interesting when you read that, some of the things the Bible scholars differ on this as to how old was Isaac, his son, when Abraham took him up to the mountain. And there's various opinions, but I can tell you this, he wasn't an infant, and he wasn't a toddler, okay? He was old enough to make that long walk, to know and understand the sacrificial process, And then to carry a pile of firewood as well. Okay? So I can say he was probably not in his 30s, but he was probably somewhere between 13 and 20. That's the position I would take. He was probably a healthy young teenager who did this. Abraham took him up to the mountain, offered and surrendered his son Isaac to God. Now, when I say offered, he literally offered his son to him. I mean, he, to the point of having Isaac get on the altar to be the sacrifice, and Abraham has the knife. Of course, we know the rest of the story. God did not allow that to happen. He substituted an animal that was in the bushes instead. But here's what happened. Abraham proved his faith in God by that dedication. So what does it mean for us to give back, to surrender our children to God today? What does that mean to us, to parents? Well, number one, giving your children to God in the act of dedication is a confirmation of your supreme love for God and for your child. What you're saying and what you're demonstrating is when you give your child back to God is that you love God even more than you love that child. I know that's hard to sink in. And that you can't probably love your children without loving God. I think that's what Abraham proved by his willingness to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God. In fact, Jesus alludes to this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. Here's what Jesus says. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now understand that children need love. Probably more than anything else today, more than ever, I think, in today's culture. And yet, I would say 99% of all parents would say, without a doubt, that they love their children. But see, love is more than words. It's love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. An action. In fact, John 3:16 says it well, that love is an action. You're familiar with this one. For God so loved the world, what did he do? He took action. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us. So God showed that he loves us by his action of giving his only son for us. Now my question to all of us as parents is, do our children see loving actions in our homes? The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 8:1, that love builds up. Love builds up. Do our children experience that kind of love by our actions that builds up? What about giving of our time? What about giving our attention to our children? Isn't that love in action? Yes, it is when we do so. Now, I don't need to tell you a whole lot about the days. These days, they're evil. They're bad days. These are dangerous times, I think, for children. And I think the implication is that for us, as parents and grandparents, we need to spend a lot of time with our children and grandchildren. We need to tune into their world, if you will. To tune into their friends. We need to know that. Don't be afraid to do that. You know, as many have said before me, and I quote, our children need our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. They need us there, okay? More than they need our presence with the T or the gifts. You got it? Now, discipline is another aspect of real love. And we all know children need discipline, and as in training, as in rebuke. And they need that regularly. The book of Proverbs is filled with verses that speak to the training and the instruction of our children in the ways of God. There are too many verses to spend to go on, but the book of Proverbs is filled with that. Proverbs 3, Proverbs 19, Proverbs 22, 23. I mean, it's just, there's all kinds of verses. But in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, 4 reads this. This is what Paul says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline and training must always be administered in such a way as to lead children to respect their parents and to respect God. It must not be done in anger or frustration, must not be inconsistent or unreasonable, and it must not be excessive. I mean, we should always, as parents, be setting boundaries and rules and guidelines and parameters for our children if we really love them. We do it because we love them. That's, love is an action word, okay? Number two, giving your children to God or dedicating them to God is a clarification of ownership. Because when you dedicate your child back to God, you're openly declaring that this child belongs to God. She's on loan to us as parents from God. So you and I have the privilege and the responsibility to love this child and to train up this child in God's ways. But understand, this child is not ours to use or to abuse. And I guess this had to be in Abraham's mind, I'm sure, when he, in Genesis 22, when he brought his son Isaac up to the mountain. Was he not saying, in essence, Lord, this child belongs to you, not me? I don't understand everything you're asking me to do, God, but you do with him as you please because he's yours. My goodness, that takes great faith. And that's certainly what was proved by Abraham, was his faith. Now, in your dedication, you are recognizing God as the giver of life. You're affirming publicly that all children are his. They are gifts. They are treasures to all of us. Which brings me to number three. Giving your children to God is also a commitment to raise your children under the lordship of Christ. We go back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. It says, we are to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. So what we're doing is publicly pledging ourselves to obey the command. We're not to provoke our children to anger, and we are to bring them up, raise them up in the training and instruction of the ways of God. And that includes building up that self-image of that child. It means we need to nourish them and nurture them, to discipline them, to train them. Instruction, spiritual guidance, warnings, encouragements, all of those things play into that. And I just want to make it clear, to give your child to the Lord in dedication is much more than a ceremony or a rite, or an event. It's a commitment. A commitment that says that as a parent, I am going to be a godly parent, and I am going to love Jesus supremely, that I'm going to teach my child to know Christ. I'm going to keep this child in the church. I'm going to love this child. I'm going to pray for this child. I'm going to train this child. I'm going to try to stay married for this child. That's what it means. I'm going to keep my home holy, set apart from the world. I'm going to try to live a righteous life. I'm going to keep Christ as the Lord of our home. It means all of those things, amen? Now recognize, child dedication, this is not some magical ceremony where all of this stuff is going to get done automatically. No. It all means nothing unless, as parents, grandparents, we make a personal commitment to make it happen by the grace of God. That's the kind of commitment God is looking for. It reminds me, the whole implication of this reminds me of the words of Joshua in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua is challenging the people of God, and he says this, "Choose whom you will serve. Fear him and serve in sincerity and in faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's the gods of this world," gods meaning with the small g, "or the Lord God," with the big G, "of the Bible." And then he closes, he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God." He makes it pretty clear. That's commitment. Okay, one more. Last but not least, giving your children to God is claiming God's plan and promises for that child's life. This is so important. Back to Genesis 22 in verses 15 to 18, it tells us that Abraham's son, Isaac, now listen, inherited God's blessings, he inherited his protection, and he inherited God's promises. What a legacy that was. Why? Because his dad, Abraham, dedicated Isaac back to God. That's why. Perhaps this is a crucial statement. As you obey and as you follow God with your life, parents, as you dedicate your children to the Lord God, you are positioning that child to receive God's best for his or her life. Now think about that. What an awesome responsibility we have with that child or those children. Because we're giving them, we're positioning them to receive God's best. So by giving back our child to God, we are declaring that God has this special divine plan and purpose for that child's life. And you're going to do whatever you can to discover that plan and obey it. As Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." I came across a question this week about people. And the question was, how do we make good people? How do we make good people? Well, then I thought of it. I was thinking about this dedication. Well, the ultimate goal of parenting, is it not, is to raise children to be good people, right? To be godly people. Rather than merely to make them feel good. You get the difference? We want to raise our children to be good and godly people, not just to feel good. So in conclusion, I got one statement. What dedication or the dedication ceremony is not. Just want to clarify it. I don't want any confusion here. Child dedication should never be confused with believer's baptism or receiving the grace of salvation. And it's not a baby baptism according to the Bible. And of course, we look to the Bible as our source of truth. And when you study the Bible, there are no specific examples in the Bible of any infants ever being baptized for their faith. Only individuals who believed and trusted by their own volition in Christ were baptized in the Bible. And therefore, we believe that the Bible teaches that salvation in Christ is received by faith through the person of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, and through his sacrificial death on the cross. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we know certainly that infants and young children, they cannot confess with their mouth. They cannot surrender their will. They cannot entrust themselves to Christ by their faith. Although when we dedicate our children, part of our prayer is that we want to nurture them in the ways of God, trusting that one day that child will come to that age whereby he or she will realize their need for salvation and to be in relationship with the Almighty God because of their sin. And then they will repent of their sin, and then they will turn to God in Jesus Christ. That's how it works. That's what every Christian should know and understand. Amen? Okay, enough said. Let's get into our act of dedication. And we're going to sing, by the way, one hymn. And then we're going to have the parents and certainly Marco, the child, and grandparents and all the sponsors come up front. And I'll be up here first. So let's sing that song together.